He gazed abstractedly into the distance and made a rough calculation of the remaining distance to the nearest life belt. "And the next impossible thing," he added, just as Richard was about to get a word in edgeways, "or at least the next completely inexplicable thing, is, of course, the matter of your sofa." "Dirk," exclaimed Richard in exasperation, "may I remind you that Gordon Way is dead and that I appear to be under suspicion of his murder. None of these things has the remotest connection with that, and I..." "But I am extremely inclined to believe that they are connected." "That's absurd." "I believe in the fundamental inter..." "Oh, yeah, yeah," said Richard, "the fundamental interconnectedness of all things. Listen, Dirk, I am not a gullible old lady, and you won't be getting any trips to the Bahamas out of me. If you're going to help me, then let's stick to the point." Dirk bridled at this. "I believe that all things are fundamentally interconnected, as anyone who follows the principles of quantum mechanics to their logical extremes cannot, if they are honest, help but accept. But I also believe that some things are a great deal more interconnected than others, and when two apparently impossible events, and a sequence of highly peculiar ones, all occur to the same person, and when that person suddenly becomes the suspect of a highly peculiar murder, then it seems to me that we should look for the solution in the connection between these events. You are the connection, and you yourself have been behaving in a highly peculiar and eccentric way." "I have not," said Richard. "Yes, some odd things have happened to me, but I..." "You were last night observed by me to climb the outside of a building and break into the flat of your girlfriend, Susan Way." "It may have been unusual," said Richard. "It may not even have been wise, but it was perfectly logical and rational. I just wanted to undo something I had done before it caused any damage." Dirk thought for a moment and slightly quickened his pace. "And what you did was a perfectly reasonable and normal response to the problem of the message you had left on the tape. Yes, you told me all about that in our little session. It's what anyone would have done." Richard frowned as if to say that he couldn't see what all the fuss was about. "I don't say anyone would have done it," he said. "I probably have a slightly more logical and literal turn of mind than many people, which is why I can write computer software. It was a logical and literal solution to the problem." "Not a little disproportionate, perhaps?" "It was very important to me not to disappoint Susan yet again." "So you are absolutely satisfied with your own reasons for doing what you did?" "Yes," insisted Richard angrily. "Do you know," said Dirk, "what my old maiden aunt who lived in Winnipeg used to tell me?" "No," said Richard. He quickly took off all his clothes and dived into the canal. Dirk leapt for the lifebelt with which they had just drawn level, yanked it out of its holder, and flung it to Richard, who was floundering in the middle of the canal, looking completely lost and disoriented. "Grab hold of this," shouted Dirk, "and I'll haul you in." "It's all right," spluttered Richard, "I can swim." "No, you can't," yelled Dirk. "Now, grab it." Richard tried to strike out for the bank, but quickly gave up in consternation and grabbed hold of the lifebelt. Dirk pulled on the rope till Richard reached the edge and then bent down to give him a hand out. Richard came up out of the water, puffing and spitting, and then turned and sat shivering on the edge with his hands in his lap. "God, it's foul in there," he exclaimed and spat again. "It's absolutely disgusting. Yuck! Oof! God, I'm usually a pretty good swimmer. Must have got some kind of cramp. Lucky coincidence, we are so close to the lifebelt. Oh, thanks." This last he said in response to the large towel which Dirk handed him.